You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A number of people have suggested to me that it is time, again, to talk about alcoholism. Alcoholism is a massive problem affecting in some way or other just about every family within reach of my voice. I'm not an expert on alcoholism. I have consulted, however, with many people who are experts on this subject. Some of them are alcoholics, recovering constantly from this disability. Jesus Christ and his apostles knew about alcoholism, as they knew about a lot of problems, both moral and medical in character. They had no easy solution. They did not condemn the use of alcohol. But they certainly did warn people against the misuse of alcohol. They condemned drunkenness, which can often be the prelude to alcoholism. At the same time, Jesus said to people, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." He was talking about freedom from the ills that affect humanity, including those they bring upon themselves. When people hurt themselves, they disrupt the lives of others around them with senseless and destructive attitudes and actions. Violence and addiction of various kinds produce suffering and heartache in the human family. I don't have to tell you that drug addiction has become a lot more prevalent during the last decade, and AIDS is becoming another killer. Not only the guilty suffer, but also those who themselves have not engaged in the activities that often bring about these ills. We are seeing what humanity can do to itself. Even at its best, humanity fails to live up to its own expectations, not to speak about the expectations of God. At its worst, humanity looks for scapegoats upon whom it can lay the blame for its own misjudgments, its own mistakes, its own missteps, its own misdeeds. This talk today, more than anything else, is about Jesus Christ. I don't have to impose him upon you. He's there, whether you like it or not. He's here with us, showing the face of God in the midst of human ills. He understands the slavery we create for ourselves by going our own way. He died for all of that, and he's become the new way with faith and love that are always in him. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He encourages and empowers people to go that way with faith in his forgiveness, and with understanding love that has the courage to follow him. "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed," said Christ. You might wonder if all this talk about slavery to alcoholism has anything to do with you, if it concerns you. Without getting into a bunch of statistics, let's just say that there's a much better than even chance that your life has been touched somehow by alcoholism. You may be an alcoholic. You may have one or more alcoholics in your family or among your friends. You may have wondered how you could be of help. You may also need to consider whether the life you're now leading is headed toward being an alcoholic. Let's be clear regarding what we're talking about. Alcoholism may be related, but it is a separate issue from drunk driving. Not everybody who drives drunk is an alcoholic. Almost everybody, including you probably, supports legislation and programs like MAD, SAD, and all such educational ventures against the folly of operating motor vehicles, including boats, while under the influence of alcohol. We're talking today about alcoholism, something that afflicts certain people. Not everybody who drinks liquor is an alcoholic, and not everybody who drinks excessively is an alcoholic. Not everybody who drinks excessively. What is an alcoholic? Alcoholism is rather hard to define. It's made even harder by the fact that most alcoholics spend years and lots of energy trying to rationalize their behavior and to deny their alcoholism. Denial is the hallmark of alcoholism. Here are some definitions of an alcoholic. An alcoholic is a person who has to drink and who cannot stop drinking. Alcoholics say they could stop if they really wanted to, but they don't want to. Others actually do stop for a few days, a week, a month, even several years, only to return where they left off after they've convinced themselves that they're not really alcoholic after all. An alcoholic is a person who needs to drink to feel good about himself or about herself. There certainly are different types. Those who drink at night, those who drink only on weekends, those who drink periodically, those who go out on binges, those who sip away all day long. Only a tiny percentage of alcoholics are in the gutter. Many are still working. Many of them are housewives. Others are to be found in bars. Many never go to bars. Alcoholics drink beer, wine, liquor, anything. The Bible condemns drunkenness as a sin. People often laugh about it, but it's still a sin. It's a sin against yourself, against people around you, and against God. Everybody knows it, even when he tries to laugh it off. Drunkenness doesn't look like such a serious sin until it becomes a disease. It has always seemed to me that a disease should not be laughed off by the person who has it. In this instance, for the one who has it, it has to be recognized as a moral and spiritual problem. By other members of the family, it has to be recognized as a serious disease, just as destructive as cancer or any other disease which needs to be treated seriously. One thing is for sure, alcoholism is a progressive disease. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse, more and more and more. If you drink occasionally, have a few at parties, or drink a glass of wine at meals, you may not be an alcoholic and may never be one. But a lot of alcoholics start like that. It's also a primary disease. Alcoholics have told me, you can forget about seeing the psychologist or counselor or pastor on any long-term basis. You can forget about marriage counseling and everything else until this disease is dealt with. This must be taken care of first before other problems can be dealt with. Some people may resent my calling alcoholism an illness or disease. Never mind that the American Medical Association labeled it a disease in 1956. What do they know, people say? Obviously, alcoholism is not a disease like chicken pox or measles, or even like cancer and heart disease. It's much more like diabetes, I'm told. The theory is that there are some people who metabolize alcohol differently from other people, just as some people handle sugar better than others do. To those people, alcohol becomes much more addictive. They get hooked much more easily. Alcoholism is a disease in the sense that it is a compulsive disorder. People who have it have a tremendous compulsion to drink and to drink some more. It's not just a matter of weak willpower. Indeed, many alcoholics have very strong willpower, but seem to be powerless to stop their drinking. Drunkenness is often freely chosen. People set out to hang one on. An alcoholic is hung on before he ever starts out. People who've tried to do something about alcoholism instead of just talking about it are most aware of this fact. If you want to, you can call this sin, a compulsive sin. You can talk about it that way, but you must recognize that none of us is too good at handling sin either. Some of the most bitter condemnations of alcoholics I've ever heard came from compulsive gossips. In spite of what the Bible says, you shall not go up and down in the land as a talebearer. In Romans chapter 7, Paul tried to put a stop to all that kind of stuff when he said that he'd always been engaged in a battle against the compulsion to be covetous and other things he knew to be wrong. He was a man with a brilliant mind, tremendous will, massive conscience. But he was practically helpless before his own compulsion. His only victory came when he renounced willpower and gave himself up, surrendered to Jesus Christ. Paul threw himself upon the mercy of Christ, remembering how he was crucified and was raised from the dead to be Lord and Savior. Paul was a man of grace, not of self-righteous pride, which he had the habit of parading before he came to know Christ. We're under grace, not under the law, said St. Paul. He was probably the kind of person, maybe the only kind, who could really deal with the problem of the alcoholic. Call alcoholism sin, and you won't be off the track. I would object to somebody calling alcoholism a disease if they were merely trying to excuse it. I can't help it. I have a disease. Recognizing it as a compulsive and progressive disease has helped alcoholics a great deal. It helps them to stop blaming themselves or beating themselves to death or trying to lick the problem by themselves. Alcoholics need friends, both at home and in the community. Alcoholics seem to be sensitive people who are hurt more than other people, people who are often secretly lonely. They have terrible self-esteem, a rotten view of themselves. When they meet alcohol, they find a friend, something that makes them feel good, that gives them courage, that takes away shyness, that makes them seem to fit in. That description of the state of mind of an alcoholic comes straight from a pastor who is himself a recovering alcoholic. It's not enough, he tells me, to stop drinking. An alcoholic who stops drinking is still an alcoholic. But now the anesthetic is gone, and he has only his pain and loneliness and problems to deal with. Into this breach some years ago came two people who saw a marvelous opportunity to do something, not only for alcoholics, but also for God. They did not start a new church or a new religion for alcoholics. At the same time, they recognized that the strength to meet this problem head-on had to come from God. Alcoholics Anonymous, or just AA, does not pretend to have a cure for alcoholism, but it is willing to put out time and effort to help alcoholics find another way. Many churches allow AA to use their facilities because they recognize the program as being the most effective one available. It's a simple program, a kind of fellowship, which involves support, love, understanding, and some simple steps enabling alcoholics to again let God help them. AA borrowed most of its principles from the church. That's a historic fact corroborated by many good books on this subject. The 12 steps of recovery of AA sound very familiar to most Christians. They involve things that all of us must do. Admit that you are powerless. Understand and trust that God can help. Some alcoholics immediately remember the God they were raised with, but maybe wandered away from. Other steps involve turning one's life over to God, listing areas of moral bankruptcy, talking about them to another person, asking God to help remove them, trying to make amends to people who have been hurt. A Christian in AA will have no trouble reconciling that kind of stuff to things he's been taught to do all his life, but for the interruption of compulsive drinking. AA has learned much from the church. It also has much to teach the church. Alcoholics who have tried AA tell me that nowhere will you find such basic honesty, such sharing, such love and concern for others. Even non-alcoholics who visit AA come away with a feeling that they wish the church were more like that. They wish something like that were available for everybody. Never mind, alcoholics have suffered so much that they deserve, as we might say, some refuge. People who leave AA do so at their peril. The disease they have convinces them they haven't got it. That may be the most terrible affliction of all. AA is strong medicine for alcoholics. An alcoholic told me we must thank God for AA just as we are thankful for insulin and other wonderful gifts from God to meet the ravages of other disease. Alcoholism requires strong medicine. For every alcoholic that suffers, there are family members who also suffer, and suffer terribly. Next time, we shall talk about them and what God can do for them. This time, we shall talk to those listening who think they may have this problem for themselves. The Lord Jesus understands what you're going through. Not only did he suffer everything in life with you, he died for you. One of his people said he suffered in all points, even as we do. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead in the glory of his Father is a message straight from the heart of God to you, whoever you are. God loves you. He sent his Son to die on that cross of his for all your sins, whether done sober or done under the influence of a tremendous compulsion. God loves you more than you love yourself. That might be part of your problem. You have so little respect for yourself, whom God respected so much that he sent his Son, even into death, just for you. His Son rose from the dead, just for you. He says just to you today, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Listen, you may not call yourself an alcoholic. Maybe you have a problem with drinking. Think about going to talk to somebody, a knowledgeable person, maybe your pastor, who probably knows about AA. An alcoholic tells me that he and others like him are becoming educated enough to at least direct you along the right path. There are pastors who have gone that route themselves, and they can tell you all about it. The disease is no respecter of persons, and a large number of pastors, doctors, teachers, and counselors have found the doors of AA for themselves. Not only your body, but also your mind and spirit need friendly and helpful direction at a time like this. When God gives help, as he does, it's always a miracle. It may not look like a miracle to you. The miracles of God come our way for the most part in ordinary ways which are sometimes not recognized by the people who benefit from them. God performs miracles, not you. Here's a piece of practical advice to any alcoholic and his family. Look up AA in the phone book. Ask to talk to somebody. Go to a meeting. It takes courage, they tell me. Try it. This is not a game. Alcoholism is a chronic disease that ends up killing about 90% of those who have it, many from fatal accidents of one kind or another. Many of the deaths go recorded as something else. Most of that is not necessary. There's hope for you, my friend. There's hope for you. Good and strong hope. We pray for you that God will extend to you his healing and helping hand, that he will help you find the way which finally is in him, and that he will restore you to being the father, mother, son, daughter, brother, or sister God wants you to be. I pray that you may experience in the life you are struggling to maintain with strong drink the freedom of the Lord Christ, which is stronger, more powerful, more gracious, more generous, more forgiving, and more life-giving than anything else in this whole wide world. He makes you free. When he sets you free, you can depend upon it that you will be free. Since this is a matter of life and death, let me say it once more. God loves alcoholics. He doesn't want any alcoholic to perish, but that each should turn to him and live. My friend, the promise of God shines all around you in Jesus Christ.
whose promise you can trust. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen.